go ahead and put your books down. But before I do that, I want to introduce Brenda Robertson to Place Membership. A few weeks ago, Brenda, where are you? Can I have you stand up? Welcome. Go ahead and put your Bibles down. This morning I'm talking about worship, and we've had a wonderful time so far this morning just worshiping God, and we are going to continue. We're going to do this song a little bit different. Sisters, please do not echo. And I dropped the O at the beginning of the song. I want us to sing it and think about the words. We're going to do it very slowly. Sinners that we are, we exalt you as our King and as our Creator. Thank you for all the blessings you bestowed upon us. Thank you for allowing us to gather here this morning to worship and praise your holy name. Thank you, Father, so much for the gift of salvation. We love you, Lord. Be with us now as we look into your word. We're grateful, Lord, for our salvation. In Jesus' precious name we pray. title of my lesson this morning is Worship in Spirit and in Truth. Oh, I love the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. It's amazing to me how day in and day out how the Holy Spirit works. This morning, we were welcomed to this service. I had no idea that Ward was going to be doing the welcome. And he reads from my very first scripture. Now tell me that's accident. This happens every week. And so that's where we're going to begin this morning. In John chapter 4, we're going to read again. You and I were created to worship the King of the universe. You were not put on this earth to go to work. You were not put on this earth to have kids. You were not put on this earth to pursue your own dreams. You and I were put on this earth to worship the King of the creation. That's why we are here. And I get very excited because every Sunday we get a chance to come together as God's children. And to do this together. You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. This is the highlight of my week. That's why I don't go anywhere on Saturday night. Because I start preparing myself for this Saturday afternoon. Somebody had better be in the hospital for me to leave. It's not about the speaking. It's about focusing my mind on what I'm coming to do the next day. And I don't know about you. I got to get my mind in process. I got to get there. Because I believe worship starts on Saturday. Not on Sunday morning. Amen, church? Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? And so I get excited that we all gather together as God's children to lift up our voices and to praise Him and to exalt His name. You know the story in John chapter 4. Ward already read it, but I'm going to read again. Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman by the well. And in verse 20, she says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit. And His worshipers must worship Him in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When He comes, He will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am He." Here you and I see the first emphasis of worship. It's not about the location, but the person. Jesus talks about true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He goes on to say, these are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Brothers and sisters, worship does not take place in a sacred building or in a location. It's about who we're worshiping. It's about what goes on in our hearts. If you think worship takes place in a church building, you have adopted something that is not biblical. If the location is not important, then what should our focus be on? Our focus must be on the person we worship.
Are you with me, church? Jesus said to this woman, you worship something you don't know. He says, we do. So the question is, how much do you really know God? Because it has a direct correlation to how you worship Him. You see, we gather here every Sunday morning to worship God. And it's exciting. We're here right now. I got to be honest with you. I'm already looking forward to next week. I can't wait. Because when we gather like this, when we're singing praises to God, imagine what it's going to be like when we get to the other side. I mean, we're talking about, I don't know who the worship leaders will be on the other side. But I can promise you, it's going to be the best of the best. As we sing praises to God, as we lift up our voices together. And so, when we get to do this on a weekly basis, it's just really a little glimpse. Imagine millions of people singing praises to God. You say, well, right now I don't know how to sing. I promise you, on the other side, you're going to have a great voice. Amen. Because my Bible says everything's going to be made new. Amen? Amen. You can't carry a tune right now. You're going to be able to carry a tune. You're going to be able to read music. It's going to be exciting. But the question is, do we know who we're worshiping? How close are we to God? Look in Psalm 116. Psalm 116, in verse 12, the psalmist asks a question. He says, how can I repay the Lord? Verse 12, Psalm 116. For all his goodness to me, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Verse 14, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his people. You know, this psalmist is writing, says, how can I repay the Lord for all the goodness to me? You see, worship is our response to our knowledge of God. The greater we learn about God, the greater our worship towards him will be. When we understand and meditate and think about all the things God has done for us and continues to do for us, we can't help but want to worship him. That's why when we're not worshiping, the problem is a lot of times we're not grateful. That's the issue. It's not the fact that you're not fired up. If you think about all the good things that God has done for you, you can't help but get here early. Amen? When the singing is going on, you can't help but participate. You're not just standing there, just watching. Worship is not a spectator sport. Amen? We got to get involved. It's amazing how God began with creation to help us worship him. Later, he revealed his presence through Moses and the miracles, his law, and his prophets. And finally, the Bible tells us in these last days in Hebrews that Jesus helps us to know God better. You know, in the Old Testament, they had three festivals that was mandatory that they attend in Jerusalem. The Feast of Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And literally during that time, the population of Jerusalem will swell from whatever it is they had at that time to like three times the number, because they were all there present worshiping God during those festivals. It was an exciting time. You know how it is when, you know, during the year, you know, you walk into a store, you can actually, you know, go out, you find what you want, and You know, there's hardly anybody in there. Compare that to Black Friday. When you're walking, excuse me. I mean, it's just people everywhere. That was the difference between during those festivals, what Jerusalem felt like, and just normally. But you see, they were mandated back in the Old Testament to come to Jerusalem during those three festivals and really worship God. They didn't have an option. They had to show up. It wasn't okay. You take care of the... You took your whole family. Are you with me? God mandated it. He says God is spirit. And his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. We've talked about this before. The Greek word for worship is proskuneo. P-R-O-S-K-U-N-E-O. P-R-O-S-K-U-N-E-O. It means to pay homage. To show reverence. To kneel down before. To show respect. You see, in my culture, I've said it before, but I'll say again. When women are saying hello to another woman that's older, they get on their knees to do it. To show respect. In other words, Sarah would, if an older sister came in, she said, oh, good morning. And she would kneel down and then stand up. We men would prostrate. And it's not just bowing. We would get totally on all fours like this. Good morning, sir. It's like I'm doing a push-up. Good morning. And then you would stand up to show respect for that person. You see, when we worship God, we need to show that respect. Maybe we're not bowing physically, but your heart had better be bowing. That's why worship is a verb. Worship is something we do. It is not something we watch as passive observers. It is something we do mind, body, and soul. When we worship God, you are not attending a concert. You know, if you're watching, if you go to YouTube or, you know, whatever your band is, you know, and you go watch them, you're out in the crowd and you're excited, they're performing, your guy is up there, your girl is up there doing her thing. You know, you're just out there having fun. If anything, if you're singing, people around you say, could you be quiet? I didn't come here to listen to you. I came here to listen to him. But worship is different. This is not a concert. Now the leaders up here, the worship guys, they help us. That's all they're doing. And they're helping us to worship our God. Are you with me? And that's why when the worship is going on, you can't be having your own private conversation in the audience. I'm sorry. This might sound kind of cold. I didn't come here to hear you talk. I came here to worship my God. Whatever you need to talk to that brother about or that sister can wait until afterwards. But don't interrupt my worship. You need to think about other people. Amen?
Amen.
You come in late for whatever reason. Come in quietly. Stay in the back. You know, the stuff is going on. So I'm going forward. I always sit up front. You're interrupting stuff. Are you with me? Because this is about us and God. Now, praise God, before the service starts, we have time to fellowship. But once that welcome starts, it's game on. Huh? This is what I came here to do. This is what you came here to do. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why we got to focus our minds. Don't come in late and be trying to give me a hug and everybody on the road as you're coming. That's not, no. I'm in tune now with my Creator. I don't want that interrupted. Amen?
Amen.
We got to get into that mindset.
It's worshiping God with mind, body, and soul, with everything within us. Worship is something we enter into with all of our might. True worship demands our undivided participation and focus. Undivided. We gather here every Sunday in His name. Amen? That's exciting to me. I love it. You know, the Psalms is the longest book in the Bible. And they're filled with verb statements when it comes to worship. It says, shout to God. Sing a new song. Dance before Him. Clap your hands. Lift up your heads. Tell of His might. Stand in awe. Meditate on His truth. Walk in His ways. Still your heart. Cast down your idols. Make a loud noise. Lift your hands. Clash the cymbals. Give thanks to the Lord. Magnify His name. Sing for joy to the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, the verbs are endless. Amen? Amen? It requires participation. It requires us to get involved. It requires us to do something. You know, it's been 144 hours since we last gathered like this. That's a lot of time that has gone by. Just like that. And if you think about it, the last week. Oh, God has been good to you. Is there anybody in here that God hasn't been good to in the last 7 days? You ate this week, I'm assuming. You had a roof over your head this week, I'm assuming. You had clothes to put on this week, I'm assuming. You're in good health this morning because you're here. You can hear my voice. You can see. There is so much to be thankful for. But unfortunately, what happens a lot of times is Satan tries us to focus on the things we do not have. And that weighs us down. And we wear it on our faces. And it's like we're singing and we can't really relate to the words of the words that we're singing. Because we're focused on all the things we don't have. Instead of thinking about all the good things that God has done for us. Are you with me? You're still alive. Your family members are still alive. We have a lot to give God praise for. And so if God has been good to you this week, go ahead and give Him a round of applause. He's a good God. He's a mighty God. He's a wonderful God. He hasn't treated us like our sins deserve. Wow. God is good. Is so good. The word praise in Hebrew is halal. It's spelled H-A-L-A-L. H-A-L-A-L. It is the source of the word hallelujah. Hallelujah is a Hebrew expression of praise, generally translated, praise the Lord. We got so much to be thankful for. Look in Psalm 148. You know, listen to this. It says, praise the Lord. In other words, hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Oh, I love this one. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His saints of Israel. Of Israel, the people close to His heart, praise the Lord. He is the Creator. We are created things, and all these things we just read. Created things, created beings are meant to adore and magnify and praise, halal, hallelujah, and lift up the Creator. Amen? Amen? Amen. This is the only person that deserves our worship. Right. You and I were not created and designed to worship created things. You do that, you're going to get in trouble. I'm sorry. You're going to be miserable. Because God did not design us to worship another human being. It doesn't matter to me if they're your wife or your husband. God did not design us to worship our kids or our job or career. Whatever it is that's created. You and I were created to worship Him. Can I get an amen? You see, anytime you flip it, you get in trouble. We mess things up. I saw this on Facebook, on one of our teenagers' Facebook the other day, and I wrote it down several weeks ago, and I thought, you know, I'm going to use this at some point, so I'm going to use it this morning. She wrote, happy moments, praise God. Difficult moments, seek God. Painful moments, trust God. Every moment, thank God. Amen? Amen. That's exciting. One of our teenagers put that on our Facebook. That's what I'm talking about. I don't want to hear about all this worldly stuff you're doing. I'm not interested. I saw that, I put that, and I said, you know what? One day this is going to preach. And I wrote it down. That's exciting. Amen? Look in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12. I'm going to tie it all in and then sit down and be done for the day. In Romans chapter 12 in verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, he's not just talking to brothers, he's talking to the brethren, the whole brotherhood. Are you with me? He's talking to all the Christians. Okay, I just say that just in case, because I don't want you sisters to be feeling left out. It says, therefore, I urge you, church, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect
will. Amen?
You see, according to this passage, worship is our response to God's grace and God's goodness. It says, in view of God's mercy, in view of everything God has done for you, especially in allowing His Son to come into this world and die for our sins, in view of all this stuff, you and I are called to offer our lives as living sacrifices. Amen. Holy and pleasing to God. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. You can't have it both ways. I'm sorry. You are going to be a very miserable individual. And in the end, you're going to lose your salvation anyhow. So are you all in? Or are you all out? Take your pick. Make your choice. Stop torturing yourself. It says we shouldn't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. But by the renewing of our minds, we are going to be able to find out God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen? Amen? We respond with sacrifice and transformation. And then later on, because of time, I'm not going to read it. If you go all the way down to verse 8, the context here is using whatever gifts God has given us to worship Him. So some of you, you're very good at teaching. Use it. Some of you are very good at encouraging. Use it. Some of you are good at leadership. Use it. Some of you are good at contributing to the needs of others. Use those gifts. That's your spiritual act of worship. Are you with me? When Gary got up this morning and was teaching us, believe it or not, he was worshiping God. When you're serving another Christian, you're worshiping God. Now, I heard the teenagers had a great time last night. Okay? But all, again, I peeped in at the beginning, very nicely decorated with the red and white balloons and stuff, and, you know, but a lot of your parents did the heavy lifting and did the hard work. Okay. What was that? Guys, I want all the teenagers who were there last night to stand up. And I want you to put your hands together and show your appreciation for all your parents and all the adults that served you last night. That's much better. They didn't have to do that. But they did. Why? Because they love you. Believe it or not, when they were serving you last night, when the meals were being cooked and all that, they were worshiping God. Amen? Amen? At home, when we're taking care of people, at work, when we're helping out, you're worshiping God. Amen. And then on Sunday, we all come together and get to do it together and just lift up our voices and magnify His name. To me, that's the highlight of the week. That's the icing on the cake. Okay? I don't know how it is for you. When I was growing up, when you cut me a piece of cake, make sure there's some nice icing on there. It's funny, that was the first thing I ate. Now, I can't do that anymore. All that sugar, I can't do it. Now, that's the first thing I cut off. Okay? Kids are looking at me, what is he talking about? One day you're going to understand what I'm talking about. But you see, God has been so good to us. He hasn't treated us like our sins deserve. The church truly worships when each part is doing its work and using their gifts to magnify God's name. That's what this is all about. Amen? That's exciting. When these guys are in the back, you know, in the booth, doing the sound and doing the translating, whatever, or doing the slides, they're worshiping God. They're using their gifts. You go, God, that's the context. Go study it out. This is our spiritual act of worship. When somebody at the end of the service, you know, taking down the equipment and, you know, putting the wires together and all that. They're worshiping God. Amen?
Amen?
That's what the Bible talks about in Romans 12. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so, throughout this week, brothers and sisters, as we obviously leave here this afternoon and go home and go about our week, let us continue to worship God. And then we'll all gather next week and do it all over again. And I don't know about you, I don't get tired of this. For me, it's been 26 years. For some of us, we're older Christians. I look forward to this. You know why? It's all we're going to be doing for all eternity. This is just practice for what's about to happen on the other side. And so if you don't figure this stuff out now, I can promise you, you are not going to like heaven. Maybe I need to repeat that. If you cannot get into worshiping God now, what do you think we're going to be doing for all eternity? There's not going to be any sin there. There's not going to be any getting drunk over there. I'm sorry. He's a holy God. We're going to a holy place. So church, let us continue every day. Let us continue every Sunday to continue to worship our God in spirit and in truth. God bless you all.
It's not about me. Brothers and sisters, we're here for worship. So today I want us to all stand and raise our hands to the Lord as we go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We have no understanding of the love that you have for us, God. But you take care of us, you protect us, you provide for us. You do everything on an individual basis, God. You know each one of us individually and take care of all of our needs, God. We're here to worship you today. We're here to worship you always. God, we just want to ask that you be with us all through the week, that we remember you and worship you all the time, God. Please be with us and keep us safe. Thank you for the message today. And we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.